2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just open it up with our theme verse for the trip. And we'll read that actually together tonight. So if you'd turn in there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Do you know if we're recording tonight at all? Okay, great. I didn't see a red light on there. I don't know if we... Okay. Audio, sure. Sounds good. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I'll read it and then we'll read it again all together. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." All right, let's say that together, reference first. 2 Corinthians 4:5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." That is the theme verse of our Scotland missions trip, because that is indeed that was our prayer, and God answered that prayer. We didn't want to go there and preach ourselves. We wanted to go there and to preach Jesus Christ, because we are servants. Paul was a servant with the gospel. And we wanted those people in Scotland at Southside Free Baptist Church to know and to feel that we were there to serve them. We wanted the people of Scotland to know that we were there to serve them. And I just want to say right up front here at the beginning of the presentation that the team did phenomenal. They did the team did a wonderful job. Just the unity was just clearly led of the Lord. We had a sweet time of fellowship. There was no crosswords, and were there times we were tired? Oh, absolutely. Or miscommunication? Sure, that's to be expected. But the truth of the matter is, there was just a loving spirit there of unity. Also with the missionary family, they were incredible. As you may hear in a little bit through the testimonies, Ben and Katie Shore were prepared for us. And boy, they sure encouraged us. They poured into us. We went there to be a blessing to them. And they were a blessing to us and their sons as well. And then we just want to share tonight just some glimpses. I wish we could go through everything. I will ask the team leaders here in a moment to be willing to come up and give a testimony. We do, because we want everybody to have an opportunity. Team members, just remember to keep it brief. Just a few minutes would be great. No more than that, if all possible. I know we got a lot we could share because God did move in our hearts. But I don't want to discourage you from giving a testimony. I really want you to, but just keeping that in mind. Because what I'll do is just so that people can have a vision of where we were, I'm going to show the pictures first. And so I'd like to just start off with one of our first days is a picture of us standing in front of the church. So let's go ahead and we'll turn the lights back here. All right. Some of the pictures may not be super clear. You'll have to forgive me for that. We'll just do the best we can. But this is the church, Southside Free Baptist Church. Now, you'll remember, just to give you a quick update, this church was just purchased. This building was just purchased in the past 6 months. Okay, this was a bar and a club, if you will, just a kind of a place where people. It was a multi-really purpose building, but it was mainly a pub and a dance hall. And so it closed down for whatever reason. God had that all planned out. And then it was it didn't even have a for sale sign. But Brother Ben went by one day and saw that it was vacant. And he realized, boy, this would be a great place for a church. Well, to make a long story short, they have been looking for years, specifically several years. And because they've been renting a building, they've been having to set up chairs all over again every time. And they just, it was hard for them to It was hard for them to get, sorry, my phone's locking on me here. It was hard for them to be able to get the place that could be concrete, that would be theirs, they could call theirs. And what the Lord did truly in the days prior to that providentially led him to this church that as he talked to the real estate agent, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but it looked like it would take a miracle. The people that owned this bar owned literally hundreds of bars across Scotland. And they usually don't sell to a church, okay? Well, God had different plans. And to make a long story short, Brother Ben made an offer, and they accepted. And this church building is now theirs. A lot of work needs to be done to it, but the space is perfect for them. It's a beautiful building on the outside and inside, especially the construction that's being done. You'll see a little bit of that. But that's where we are, right there. And it's very right there in Longhead where they wanted to be. And I could tell you, boy, Ben was just sharing a miracle after miracle in order to get this building. The finances that God provided and everything to go in with that, for they were able to pay cash for this building. And so we arrived that day. That's us out there getting ready and getting charged up, ready to go. And so I might go through these kind of quick. You'll forgive me. Some of these you may not be able to see very well. In fact, I'm just going to read this. This is the sign they put up when they bought the church building and officially moved in. It says, established July 4th. This church was started July 4th, 2010. That's when Ben and Katie got to the field, is when the Southside Free Baptist Church was formed. And he says here a verse, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Psalm 52, verse 9. And then it says this in the middle of the sign, God enabled our church to purchase this property debt-free on February 23rd, 2023. He says on down the second two paragraphs on this says, may all who enter remember God's power and His ability to do all things. In the last verse there it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. That's a big, pretty big sign, stands about maybe this tall, about this wide, that is permanently attached to the side of the building that they purchased. What a blessing. Then as we enter in, I just want to show you a couple things. This is the flyer that we distributed. Hundreds and hundreds of these went out to the community. We truly were blessed to be able to use this. It has the gospel on the back. I'm trying to get it to you'll forgive me for the technology here. I'm trying to, Mike, what's the best way to get it? Is it showing up full size there? Yeah. Let's see here. All right. So you can't read it but it basically says a friendly church with a passion to proclaim Christ, and gives the times of the services and the address down here on the bottom. And then on the back of this flyer has a clear presentation of the gospel. And you can see there, I'm not going to go through all of that, but this is what we distributed when we were down in Edinburgh doing the street preaching. And just so that you know exactly what it was, you'll see here in just a moment us doing that. But we started off pretty quickly, right off the ground, helping do construction. The room you see us now is where we did most of the work. It is going to be the sanctuary. This was the dance hall, the community dance hall. They're taking off all the wallpaper. We helped with a lot of that, and they're making some headway. There's a couple of guys up there. I think that's Thomas Diaphera, one of the Shore Boys, and I'm standing there looking and seeing they're doing a great job. And that's kind of a long view of it. That back wall is where the pulpit will be, far back there as you walk in. It'll all be done here probably in the next, I'd say, 3 to 4 months to be done. You can't really see that, but that's a wall besides where we took off a lot of the wallpaper. There's Thomas and one of the Shore Boys using a steamer and pulling that off. There's Brother Thomas, you know, we had two Thomases on the trip. Actually, three if you count me, but that go by Thomas. So we had to, along with the nickname, so we had Wee Tea for Little Tea. And that's what they say for little in Scotland, Wee Tea. And that was Little Thomas. And then Thomas Dyer, Pastor Ben, you know, hot tea is very popular in Scotland. So Brother Thomas Dyer got the name Hot Tea. All right, so it was it all worked out well. But there's Hot Tea working hard. We all got a nickname, by the way, and boy, I wish we had time to tell about all of them. There's Miss Debbie. There was always cleaning to be done all throughout the day because of Holiday Bible Club, VBS, you know how that goes, and, of course, a team being in and out using the building. There was always something. The ladies did an awesome job always making sure Katie was being helped and just things. There's Pastor Ben Shore working in the sanctuary. We also did some caulking in the room there. That was in the activity center, same building but different room. Christian and Becky working hard there. And this picture, Brother Derek is greeting one of their members. His name's Tommy. He was a blessing. Boy, he really took right up with our group. He encouraged us, and we encouraged him, and he was a big jokester, so he and Derek got along really well. And but they had fun together, and boy, laughed, and that was special. Brother Tommy is really Ben's right-hand man. He's the treasurer of the church. He's a trusted man. He's been faithful, comes to the services, and just really is encouragement to Ben. And we appreciate Tommy. There's another picture of him coming in one day as we were working and giving us a hard time, but he also helps with work around the church. There's another picture here. And there's Brother Thomas Dyer giving a testimony there in Sunday school. And it was neat because all of the team, each team member, got to share their salvation testimony. And God moved in that service. His presence was so real. And we were just all testifying how we got saved. And the people of the church seemed to appreciate it. Pastor seemed to appreciate it. And so I'm just going to flip through these here pretty quickly. But just everybody giving testimony. This young lady, Ashlyn Campbell, was a tremendous blessing to our team. That was providentially ordained by the Lord for her to join us. I met her dad, who's a missionary here at our church. He came to a fellowship that we hosted. Long story short, he asked if his daughter could come. And they're with Macedonia Baptist Missions. And he said his daughter was wanting to take a missions trip her senior year, but didn't know where to go and didn't have anybody to go with. She, of course, she's a MK. She's a missionary kid, but she had never been with a team to another country. Well, God saw it fit for her to join us. And boy, she just had a sweet spirit about her and was a servant and gave testimony. Thomas, Wee T, giving testimony, and Becky and Lorraine, Miss Debbie and Susan and Christian. Brother Derek also gave testimony. Like I said, the whole team did, and I appreciate them being willing to do that. That's not always easy to stand before a group of people and share your testimony. We hit the ground running with tracts and distribution, and really a blessing to us to kind of see what Ben does there. They're in Europe, but specifically here in Scotland with Ben, most of their mailboxes, in fact, really all of them, are through the door. And so they have a little flap open there, and it's legal. You just, any literature you're wanting to distribute, unless they have a sign. Some of them say, no flyers, and we respect that. But most of them do not. And so the only thing you have to be aware of, now, I cannot remember the name of that thing. Does any of the team members remember what he called that? It was it was a little small cutting board, and it was small. What was it? Yeah, but what did that stand for? I can't remember. But anyway, they used these to get the flyers in, and the reason was because there was dogs at many of these homes that when some kind of literature came through the door, dogs would jump up and bite it. And so he had to find some kind of device that when he pushed that flyer through, it wasn't his fingers. Because he would just basically, the way it would look is the flyer would be this size. You would put it around your fingers like this and push it straight through because it had bristles and stuff there. And that's the way we did it because we didn't have that tool. So we were just praying there would not be a dog that took our fingers off on the other side. And so thankfully that all worked out, and nobody, I don't think, got bit, at least that I heard of. There were some close calls I heard. But anyway, we did that. We had a divine appointment that day, met a man that came out and talked with us and even encouraged us and thanked us for what we were doing. And that was just like really a confirmation from the Lord there just as we were getting going that, hey, we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. Yeah, we spent a lot of time in this bus. This is their mini bus. He took us everywhere. We did not rent a van. He wanted to be able to take us around, and I'm glad he did, because they drive on the wrong side of the road. And so to us anyway, and so it was very difficult to get used to, and you wonder, but that's the team getting ready to go out. This is Miss Katie and their youngest son, Mac. He's 9 years old, out giving out flyers, and she is a faithful missionary wife. Sweet spirit, loves the Lord, just there for her husband and children and just doing a great job, and we appreciate them. And their example, Brother Christian, there's an example of one of the doors. You can't quite see the flap, but that's where we go. And we literally, I think Brother Ben said, we put out at least 4,000 flyers. But we were moving them. We were all over the place. Apartment buildings, houses, new developments. I mean, we were trying to get out as many as we could for the Holiday Bible Club. Now, this is one of the highlights of the trip. We went down. This is Edinburgh, and this is me street preaching. And I wanted to give you an idea there. You'll see a video here in a moment, a quick video of Christian street preaching and myself street preaching. But there were just literally, church, I'm not kidding, there are literally just thousands and thousands of people that were packed down in this city. Tourists, people that live there and work there, you name it, from all over the world, passing us by. All the whole 3 or 4 hours we were down there street preaching, hanging out flyers, they were just new people coming by constantly. And so you have just a moment with them where our team, as I was street preaching, Ben did most of the street preaching, and Christian, the rest of the team was strategically placed at different areas of that block. And we're passing out those gospel flyers that I showed you a minute ago. And what a blessing that was. This is Thomas handing them one. Thomas probably did the best out of all of us because they, for whatever reason, I guess maybe because of his age or his smile, I don't know, but they took them from him more than any of us. But he did a good job, and all the team did. This is the two sons of the Shores busking, playing their bagpipes there for just the people coming by, and we were able to be around in that area. If you can look closely, I'll show you a closer picture, but what's interesting about this area, this statue in the background right here is missionary David Livingston. A great man of God that was used to as an explorer, but also a wonderful missionary. And they have a statue. So it was just an honor being in there, just remembering what he did for the Lord and giving his life for the cause of Christ. And we were able to do that. But the boys played the bagpipes there and did a good job. This is the team getting ready to go out in that area. It was cold, as you can see, but we were doing the best we could. Another picture of us just out and about. The Shore family is here on this one. It's Katie and the boys. And there's Ben with the street, the suitcase. The reason he has that is because that has his speaker in it and the things that he uses to set up for street preaching. He goes down there at least once a week. And sometimes we'll preach for an hour or two. Just preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. And a lot of times he'll just repeat verses, repeat the gospel because new people are passing by. He has about a total of 10 to 15 seconds to plant the seed of the gospel in someone's heart. It's truly amazing. This is Holiday Bible Club starting up. Boy, that was a grand time. I think we had about 15 young people that signed up. That may not sound like a lot, but it is for there. And they came and we served them with the gospel and we played some games with them out in the field. The ladies were always helping Katie prepare the meals and set things out. They were faithful to do that. Here's a panoramic shot of playing some dodgeball out there in the churchyard with the kids. This is a Holiday Bible Club taking place in the activity room where it took place. This is them getting things together, snacks, and those sort of things. The ladies, Lorraine and Susan, kind of headed up the crafts, and others of the other team members helped as well. Ashlyn and certainly others did chipped in and helped with that. This is them getting things ready. This is during the Bible club. It was 2 hours, Monday through Wednesday, from 10:30 to 12:30. Now, this was the last night, folks, and you can't really tell it in the picture. It doesn't do justice, but we showed a film, and they had pizza, and Brother Ben was extremely encouraged on the show up. The place was packed. The activity center was packed with parents and kids, and he showed the film, William Tyndale, where we get our English Bible. It's a Torchlighter series, if you've heard of those. He showed that. It was just so sweet. The Spirit of God was just working. Even through that film, Brother Ben gave a salvation message afterwards and just talked about the importance of the Word of God. And we were so encouraged because we were praying that the Lord would fill that place, and He did. Thank you for praying, church. It made a difference. It's Thomas and some of the church kids playing foosball. We had some good time with that. Now, just a couple random pictures here. This is our group freezing to death there in the Highlands. It was absolutely beautiful. The pictures don't do justice. And the wind that was taking place right now, you can't tell. But this is our group. Just one of the last days. It was Thursday, I believe, that we went out and did a tour of the Highlands. This is us barely hanging on. You can't tell in this picture, but the wind is blowing so hard that we're having to lean forward just to stay upright. And the winds got really high there, but that was a great experience to go there. This is sort of on the closing night. We were able to go over to the cottage where six of the team members stayed, and we were just all gathered there for our last meal together and gave testimonies and sang together. That was so sweet, just how the Lord worked in our hearts that week and blessed. Brother Ben Shore shared some testimonies with us about the miracles God is doing in Scotland. Now, this is just a scenic picture here. Beautiful. The sheep out in the pasture there. This is one of the castles that we visited. We would usually do something in the morning, ministry-wise, and then Brother Ben would take us somewhere not too far away, maybe a 30 minutes to an hour drive to see something like that. There's another picture of the statue of Livingston. Appreciate his testimony. I wanted to mention this in closing. The Covenanters prison. This is basically a group of men that were Bible believers. They believed in religious freedom in Scotland, but the Church of Scotland would basically seek to have control over what they preached, and they basically rebelled against that, and they covenanted that they would not join any organization that restricted what they could preach. And because of that, they paid the ultimate price. They were imprisoned and they were killed. And this is a monument there to their courage and the difference they made. This is a yard that many of them would die in. They put them in here out in the cold elements with no food, no heat. And Brother Ben said that's where they would remain. And this is in the late 1600s. This is a rock. Not far from one of the castles where they took this actual rock right here. They took the Covenanters, many of them, and left them on this island to die. They paid the ultimate price for religious freedom. And we still are reaping great dividends from their sacrifice. And that being said, we have this picture here. That's another monument. Dedicated to them. This was an actual place where they were martyred, another place in town before the public because of them just declaring that Jesus Christ was the one they would preach, and they would preach Christ alone for salvation. And I give you this last picture here is because of those people. And even though Scotland has gone into just strong atheism and humanism and have just totally gone away from many of their roots, over the past several centuries, we as a group and other missionaries like the Shores can go there and still proclaim the gospel and still be faithful And so I just want to show that last picture because that is right in the vicinity where many of these covenanters died and were martyred for their faith. And so I rejoice in what God did in our hearts. A great work of revival took place, just being out of our comfort zones, being among a people that many of them were cold-hearted. But there were many that received the gospel message as well. So at this time, I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to the team. Derek, we'll start off, and then Thomas, Brent, if you want to go second, we too.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you thank you for your prayers while we were there. It really showed, and I guess you really have to go somewhere like that to understand. You know, I see a lot of people here that I see every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and that's not what they have at that church there. Tommy was probably the only one that's a regular every Sunday, and it's hard. And they've been there 14 years, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And he does this week in and week out, the street preaching, the passing out flyers, knocking on doors, witnessing to people. With very little what we would consider to show for it. But he's planting those seeds. And that's all that we can do is plant those seeds, you know. So thank you for your prayers. The country was absolutely beautiful. It was insane that we were touching buildings, walking on streets that are older than our country is. It was just amazing. And the hospitality there, they were fantastic people. The Scottish people were just very friendly, very easy to get along with. So I'm going to start with a funny story a little bit. So at the church, we met up with the team on Thursday. So I guess it would have been either Thursday or Friday. I hadn't been to the church very much. And they had these new doors that they had put in. And it was real sunshiny that day. So I went out and took pictures of the church all the way around, front, the sides. I took pictures of the stuff that he showed you on the screen. And so I came back to the door, and I was the only one outside. And there's a little bitty door and a big regular door. We've been going in and out the big regular door. And it's got a pull handle on it. And so I got to the door, and I pulled on it, and it was locked. And I couldn't get back in. And so I'm standing out there waiting, and Christian was fixing some coffee at the little bar area up there where we serve the food and all. And he finally turned my way, so I'm making hand gestures, trying to get his attention, and he finally sees me. I'm like, hey, come here, let me in. So he comes over, and he opens the door from the inside. So all I needed to do was push. It was open the whole time. So I had told the team, let me tell you the dumbest thing I've done so far, and I think it wound up being the dumbest thing I did. So that's good. But we had devotions that we did every morning, and then we would get together and we'd break up in different groups and read the verses together and then just talk about, you know, how God has spoken to you. And I just picked out two of the days that we did. The first one that came to mind to me was from Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, and it says now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And as the pastor said, I felt like the unity and the teamwork was just fantastic. We were with each other all day, every day. We worked. We got up in the morning. We had breakfast, the six of us that were at the cottage. We had breakfast together. There was never any, well, I didn't want that this morning, or, you know, what happened to all the orange juice. We just got along well. And then we went and went and went all day long. We walked in at night and said, all right, see y'all in the morning, and off to bed we went. So we spent very little time at the cottage, although it was really nice, but very cold. The second one that came to mind was Psalms 115, and it's verses 1 through 8. And this is talking about the heathens. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. And with passing out the flyers, we didn't meet a lot of people doing that, putting them through the doors. But when we were downtown in Edinburgh, as Pastor was talking about, we passed out flyers, or tried to hundreds of people that came by. Some of them would say thank you or no thank you. Some of them would take them. Some would say no. Some would even make eye contact with you. As soon as they saw you, well, they beelined on what they were, where they were headed. And as far as I know, they're all unsaved. I don't know this, but as far as I know, they are. And it made me think of these verses that they have their gods, whatever they may be, but they're not the one true God. And so then, as we passed these out, I got to thinking about the Uber drivers that I've been with and the people on the planes that I had sat beside, waitresses at restaurants, whatever, when I could have given a track and I didn't. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready for that. I'm sure you're going to hear about some divine appointments. And I think that's a real thing, and I think that comes a lot from the church praying for you while you're there. So to pray for me specifically would be that I will be more bold and more ready to share the gospel, to pass out a tract, to plant that seed where it's needed. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Derek.
Hey, T.
There you go,
Well, a lot of people asked me what my favorite thing was, and it was street preaching, and I was really encouraged about going out there, and the first time, like, I just saw them pass out the flyers, and, like, at first I was like I didn't do it as well, and I started to give people some, and they, like, rejected, or they took one, and I kept doing it and kept doing it. And I thought about the people that didn't take them, and I thought, like, they're actually rejecting the gospel. And that really spoke to me to, like, give out more gospel tracts and flyers, and that people need Christ. And, yeah. And, I kept passing them out a lot, and like about every 5 minutes, about 50 people would pass me, and it just spoke to me. God spoke to me that day.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
that. I will echo the thanks for your prayers. Before I went to Scotland, back when it was introduced, I literally knew nothing about Scotland except Braveheart or something like that, which, by the way, is the fourth most inaccurate movie in history, we have now learned. But so much of the Scottish history is related to religious freedom struggles. And it's amazing to me, now that I've been there, to see where they've gone from. I mean, they still have a church. They still have the Church of Scotland. They still have religious places, and they still have these things. But when you actually talk to the people, you just get this sense of hopelessness. The verse after reviewing all of this and going through the mission process, that came back to me as kind of a summary for what applied to me was Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because there were so many people without hope. The second day, when we were passing out the HBC flyers for the Holiday Bible Club, I had to face one of my biggest fears that I have related to the gospel. We were, Ashlyn and I, and Ashlyn is a self, she knows, she'll tell you she's an introvert, but the two of us were together and we were going through the, handing out the flyers, and we were in this flat, and we usually stopped, started at the top and went down, because that's what Pastor Ben told us to do. He said that way if you have somebody that comes out mad at you, they're above you, not below you. Well, I found out the wisdom of his words. Because for whatever reason, this time when we started at the bottom. In fact, we started at one lady's house in particular, and we went up to the top, and then we came back down, and as we almost made it to the door, and this lady comes out and, pardon me, are you the one that left this flyer in my house? And I think to begin with, Ashlyn and I both just looked like we had the deer in the headlights look. And I said, yes, ma'am. I am. And she said, who is the God of this church? And I mean, it was just a, just my greatest fear that I have had. I can stand here and talk to y'all. I can teach Sunday school class. You can give me a lesson. I can teach it. But to cold call somebody and have them question me, I was terrified of that, because I'm always, Lord, am I going to have the words? Am I going to know what to say? Am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to tell them the wrong thing? And that was his way of reassuring me that he was going to give me the words. Because, y'all, I was quoting scripture, and there are some days I can't remember my son's name. I'll be doing, calling everybody's name. So it's the Lord. Now, the second day, and I'm going to be quick, I'm sorry. The second day of the Holiday Bible Club. Now, Derek and I had already been in Scotland for over a week by that point. And we were very busy all the time. I mean, we were working, and when we weren't working, if we weren't working hard, we were playing hard. We were visiting lots of places. We had 22,000 steps one day and 16,000 steps another. I saw a lot of Scotland, and I loved every minute of it. But the second day of the Holiday Bible Club, I hit a wall, and as Susan called it, I've hit the wall. In fact, I sat on top of the wall is how tired I was that day. And in my Facebook post from that night, I shared that, and I asked for prayer. And on day three, I woke up energized and able to handle it. I'm telling you, y'all praying for us accomplished that task when we needed it. And Susan and I both commented on being able to be prepared to be able to handle the day. And I'm not going to lie, we needed every prayer that you sent us, because that was the most chaotic day. Before that, all the kids had been so calm and so quiet and so attentive. And that day, it was just crazy. And I even had one little girl, I would have them come sit up beside of me as we were doing this one particular thing in their craft. And she said, it's so chaotic today. And I said, yes, yes it is, but it's okay. And I thought, Lord, is anybody going to come tonight? These kids, we ended up with 18. It grew every day. And finally, the last day, I think, was 17 or 18. 18 total that we had touched through the week. And I thought, there's nobody coming back tonight. It's going to be crazy. These kids are going to be so tired from this morning, they're not going to want to come back. And the Lord was like, I've got that. We ended up with, I think we counted between 44 and 46 people. And if you take out our team and the regular attenders, that was 28 visitors. Now, they weren't all new visitors, but they were 28 visitors that night. And there was such wonderful fellowship. Katie was actually able to have time to develop relationships, because she's normally the one back there serving pizza. And we were able to do that for her. Your prayers allowed us to have the energy and ability to do that. I appreciate being Katie, Logan, Parker, Nelson, and Mac. They were very organized. They were very welcoming, and they were very knowledgeable about the area. But I appreciate most that they gave me the opportunity to step out of my comfort zone and to do the street, to go with them while they did the street preaching and to do these flyers and to be able to have the confidence that my God is going to give me the words that I need to say.
I think they've covered most of what I was going to say. The first day we went over to the church, I started cleaning. So I was cleaning toilets, I was mopping, I was vacuuming, I was washing dishes and all that. And I thought, I got this mission thing, I can do this. Because those things don't talk back to you. And then later that day, I got handed this stack of flyers and say, here, go around the neighborhoods and pass these out so the kids get invitations to Bible school. I was like, okay. So we did that, and I found out the mailboxes don't talk back either. So my confidence was building. And then on Monday, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. God orchestrated this thing from the very beginning. Even the scriptures that Pastor picked out, who knows how many weeks before the trip, went with each day for the activities that Ben had picked out. And it was just amazing how they went together. But that morning, Monday, we read 2 Thessalonians. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And so that afternoon is when we went out to the street preaching. So my vision of street preaching is, okay, the pastor's here preaching, a crowd is going to gather, we will minister to the people that gather there. And so Pastor Ben standing there, he said, okay, I don't want anybody standing around me. Y'all go over there and over there and over there and down the street. I don't want you around me because I want people to pay attention to me and not be distracted. So we're all scattered and he's preaching by himself. But you saw those pictures, these thousands and thousands of people just walking as fast as they could with, like was mentioned, a look of hopelessness, sad, angry faces would not make eye contact with you. And that is totally out of my comfort zone. It's like, okay, I'm trying to give these flyers to these people who I can't even catch their eye. And, you know, I've got some good news for you. We'd like to invite you to church. We, you know, just trying different phrases even to catch your attention. And a lot of people who actually took that were gracious and walked on. And there were some no thank yous, but the most people just totally ignored you and walked on by. And I've never felt as rejected as I did that day. And I just began to think about the rejection that Christ felt. I said, I'm not even getting a fraction of what he went through and what he felt. And just seeing, as Thomas mentioned, just those hordes of people just running towards destruction. So that really gave me a burden. I think, like Derek mentioned, of just being able to talk to the people that are around you and those that you have a relationship with and casual acquaintances that you can hand a tract to or start a conversation with. So just getting that burden of the masses that are heading toward eternity. You know, that's what I really got out of this trip. And it was a joy all the way through, and the answers to prayer were just amazing. Our pastor and Pastor Ben were both men of prayer. I'm talking about, 10 minutes, but we get in the bus heading into the mountains when it's covered with rain and clouds, and they're praying that the clouds would clear so that we could see God's creation, and it happened. Just so many things, time after time, that happened. But just how their prayers on a daily basis worked in your prayers, holding us up all week long, Martin. Thank you so much.
I had to find mine out because it's just overwhelming. So, the scripture that spoke to me is in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians also, 12:9-10, which is, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I got that verse because I knew within this team member setting that I didn't have, not even an associate's or a bachelor's or a master's. I don't have any kind of, a position, I would say, to be able to be of use for the Lord. And that was really burdening my heart. But I realized that those were just thoughts from Satan, because the evil one wants us to doubt God's integrity of his character. And the evil one wants his integrity be doubted for his purpose. So God has a purpose for us. And we tend to doubt. The evil one wants to encourage us to cast doubt upon the love of God. See, he loves me regardless what I do, and he loves them regardless what they do, yet we need to proclaim Christ so that they'll have eternal life. And when I went over there, I've been growing, and of course there's times that I haven't been growing, but that I've seen development of spiritual growth. Every time, every year, it's a little bit more, and I'm thankful that the spiritual growth is from God.
Amen.
It's a gift. It's not something that we earn, and it's not a reward. It's a gift. So if you have any kind of spiritual growth, it's particularly for you, and it's a gift for that which I am thankful for. So because I had these thoughts, what am I going to do? How am I going to act? I was dwelling on what they were going to think of me. And really, that is foolish. It's unwise. Because it's not what they think of me. It's what God thinks about me. And that's where I need to go, is what does God think about me? Because that's what's going to make the difference. So when I was over there, and my testimony, I don't normally give it, but Pastor impressed upon me that we had to give our testimony. I really had to think about it, but I've been saved for 31 years, and I've been in this church for 29 years. And I can attribute that to the prayers of the people in this church, for the support of this church through the many years, because circumstances come and go, but God doesn't forsake his people. And we are our body. And that's what we went to go to Scotland for, to support Ben and Katie in their burden or whatever. And I saw that purpose being met. Thank you for the prayers that you gave to us. God did show and demonstrated his love in so many fascinating ways, and they are speaking of those things. But we come away with a greater love for the Lord. We come away with a greater love for one another. I left the boys crying. Well, we left the boys crying. I know how they felt. They felt, here we are all alone again. All our family is in the U.S. And we have to stay here. And I know that they would like to be a normal family, like, have their cousins there or whatever. But they also know the grace of the Lord. And to them, it is a tribute, their reward that they serve for the Lord. So anyways, so I say all this to say that don't let Satan rob you of your blessing. Okay? You have the Holy Spirit, and wherever he guides you, he is going to supply whatever you stand in need. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just do his will, because he's the one that's going to direct you, and he's the one that's going to empower you, and he's going to give you the blessing. So for those that have not taken a mission trip, I encourage you. I may not have to do this much longer, but anyways, I encourage you. And therefore, I will give you my life first, which is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Becky. Praise the Lord for that.
So what really impressed me the most in this missions trip, I think, is that there's so many ways that God used this trip. It's really amazing. I wrote a few of these things down. So for one, the missionaries, the Shore family, they were encouraged.
Yeah.
And then the members of Southside Free Baptist Church were encouraged. And the children of the community were ministered to. And the community was reached out to with the gospel, and the community in Lonehead. And then the people that were in Edinburgh at the time, they were given an opportunity to receive the gospel. And so these are just a few things that the Lord used this missions trip for. And then, of course, He worked in each one of us individually, and in so many ways. And I just want to share one thing. You know, this street preaching was definitely not in my comfort zone, I can promise you. And I don't know, like, the Lord provides grace. You know, I got up there, and the fear just left me. Mm. And I struggle with the fear of man. Mm. I really do, always have. But when you step out by faith, God is right there.
Amen.
And He provides the grace.
Yes, He is.
And I really want to do this more, this street preaching, because it's a blessing to be a recipient of the grace of God. It's what we're made for, really. But really, there was also many other things that I struggled with. Like, for example, teaching those kids, I was supposed to bring the Bible lesson. And the devil was just in my ear, well, what are they going to think? What is this missionary going to think in all this? And just, I think it was that morning that I read, Pastor gave us a list of scriptures for each day, like a scripture for each day. And that day I read the wrong scripture. Instead of 2 Thessalonians, I read 1 Thessalonians. And that scripture was just exactly what I needed to remind me that I'm not doing this for the preachers in there, but I'm doing this for the Lord and for those children. And that just, again, that gave the grace to go on and to... but really, the overall message I'm taking away from this mission trip is that when we give somebody the gospel, it's not like we're begging them to take something from us. We are coming in the name of God. We're coming with a message from the King. And the King has given us authority to bring that message. And when you go with that spirit, that fear goes away. Because if they reject you, you know that they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting God. And it's not God's loss. It's their loss. And it's not my loss. It's their loss. I mean, yes, it's true. It doesn't feel good to be rejected, but we have to remember that they're not rejecting us, and we have the opportunity to say to them. And that was another scripture that was a reading, is when Jesus sent the 70 out to preach the gospel, and He said to them, "And heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." And so we are here, or there in Scotland, and we have the opportunity to tell people, you know, here's the kingdom of God. It's near you. All you have to do is accept it. And I'm showing you how to do that.
Amen.
And what a privilege we have. And the fear that we probably all feel when we are faced with that command to preach the gospel. It's not from God. It's from the devil. He wants us, he wants to stop us from giving people the gospel. Yeah. And we just don't need to listen to that.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you, brother Christian. Amen. What a blessing.
I wrote down a few things today, but most of it has been shared. I think the street preaching took me the most out of my comfort zone that I have ever been in. It was not comfortable hearing rejection over and over. One thing that Hatman said was right where we were, that area, there was a train station behind us, a bus station beside us, a six-floor mall on one corner. So it was a bustling place. There was people moving. There were people dragging suitcases. I was even amazed looking at the video of how few people it looked like, because it felt like a stream of 40 coming at you all the time. And even getting one person to take it, there was a realization that there was probably 20 that just walked by that you missed. And it was such a visual. I think there's a little old trick, chick track. I think we talked about it as a team, where people are walking and falling into hell. And I think just coming away from the hustle and bustle of just life and stopping and focusing on what God is doing there was huge in my life. I wrote down just a few things. This trip stretched me physically. There was a lot of hills. I kept thinking, every time we go up this huge climb, I mean, down, Derek would look at me and say, you know, we got to go back up this. And I felt every second of 60 many times on this trip. It definitely took me out of my comfort zone to stand and speak. I'm like Debbie, I'd rather clean. I was more comfortable on my hands and knees cleaning the muck where they took the bar header off. And there was places where there were just, you could clean this place for every day for 2 months. It's just layers and layers of an old bar being scrubbed off. But it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful, there's so much like thick wood, and just God just really gave them a beautiful place to have a church building. And I look forward to that finished sanctuary, because it's going to be gorgeous. But that visual of the people just walking by, and like many said, they wouldn't even meet your eyes. You would try to catch their eyes. And it was funny that I found myself going, okay, what works? So I started walking instead of standing, because if you stood there, that just gave them longer for them to veer off. So if I would walk and pass it, and, you know, even to say, let me give you something good to read, or hello. I mean, it was just so fast. Y'all can't imagine how fast these people were coming past you. This trip gave me time to focus on doing just what God wants us to do daily. And I really needed that. I'm really grateful because I got to see firsthand the need. Scotland is a hard mission field.
Yes, it is.
We are in the Bible Belt and a very comfortable bubble here. And to walk into that environment is quite different. And I just really appreciate the work the Shores are doing there, and the other missionaries. The last night we were able to sit around and share what happened during the week and what was most, just, you know, what God was doing. And at the end of that, Ben turned around and then he shared with us, and it was just divine appointment after divine appointment of ways God's was just confirming his call there. And that blessed my heart. It was like God giving me an opportunity just to see what he was doing. We just happened to walk in on a small part of that. But yeah. God's doing the work there, y'all. It's Sunday morning we were there, it was basically us, another couple, a few individuals, and two children. So to have 19 in Bible club was huge. And whoever was praying for us Wednesday around noon, because I was thinking that was the day everything fell apart. So 5 hours back would have been noon. We felt your prayers. If it was you, I just want you to know God answered, because it started with a little girl getting hurt on the during the activity time. And it was like all of a sudden we just had this, it was just this wave of confusion. And I know the devil was just coming in, because it got really loud. We were trying to, Lorraine and I had a split craft. You could do this or this. And then there were some people that brought their kids and stayed. And, of course, the team members were interacting with them. But there was one point it was so loud I couldn't hear myself think. And so I pulled some of the kids off to one area and Lorraine took the others. But I remember as Christian was doing his lesson, Ben was out there working on his message for that night. He said, let's just stop and pray. So we did. And he just said, I know when this happens, God's fixing to do something big. So that night, while they were picking up kids, the team got an opportunity to sit there and pray and just, you know, ask the Lord to do the work. And people kept coming in and coming in and coming in. And that space was filled, y'all. It was just so sweet to see it. And those are just, I wish I could just share. I've got so much to say. It's like I'm almost confused as to what to say. But it was just, it was an amazing week. Katie is a sweet spirit and such a great help. And we came to be an encouragement to them. But honestly, I think I left more encouraged from what they did for us. So, I'll tell you one funny so I can quit crying. The first night we were passing out snacks, and so my brain thinks in Georgia speech, and I know they're English speaking country, but I can tell you my brain does not catch but about the first few seconds of what they say. And so we were passing out, we would say cookies, chips, and candy. And so I was listening to Katie call it different words, like 5 seconds before. I'm like, so she hands me these platters, and it's crisp, biscuits, and sweeties. And so I'm passing out stuff, and this little girl in her little thick Scottish accent, she's like, I'd like a sweet tea. And I said, oh, honey, we don't have sweet tea. We just have, like, juice, orange juice, apple juice, and currant juice. And Katie's looking at me across the table. She said she wants a piece of candy. Oh, okay, I got that. It was this. This is what she wanted. But, I mean, there's just story after story. And the more fatigue we got, the more we laughed. Some nights we were going home, and we were in such hysterical laughter that Ben would say, they're going to think the tavern's open. Y'all need to tone it down. But every morning we would get in the van, and he would have really thought about this, but he would give us a nickname and the reason why. And it wasn't just like because two sentences. It was like he had spent some time in this. But just so much fellowship with the team. I just appreciated the time, because here we're just going here, there, and on. And it was just really a sweet 10 days.
Well, thanks for letting me go last, preacher. But everybody said everything I was going to say.
You went first.
So I'll see y'all later.
Yeah, man. You went first. The testimony's in Scotland. So now you
Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I was really didn't have a verse applying to my testimony, but when we read the theme verse for the mission trip, I looked at the next verse, and it was so neat how God brought that to my mind. It says 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's what we were doing over there. We were putting the flyers through the mail slots when we were street preaching, when we were handing out the flyers in Edinburgh. We were giving the light of God to people. Because like everybody was saying, Scotland, man, they're delightful people. I mean, they are just delightful people. Most of them are so friendly. But Ben mentioned that they are a country that's hard against God. They have a resentment against God, and I don't know why that is. So there's that. There's the darkness there. As everybody said, it's a beautiful country, beautiful people. Preacher mentioned we got right to work as we got there. I mean, jet lag and all. We saw our accommodations. We went to the church to look at it, and then he said, let's go hand out some. Ben said, let's go put some flyers in some door slots. And we went, okay. And the jet lag, I thought, for me, was worse going over there than coming back. I mean, we were dead on our feet, at least I was. And we met this man named Mike Gordon, and he was such an encouragement. I think God brought us, because every time we were walking around this one housing complex, we'd cross paths with him. He'd look at us, and we'd look at him. He's walking his dog. And finally, he said, what are you guys doing? And we told him what we were doing, what we were all about. And he goes, oh, that's great. I think he mentioned he was a Christian or he went to church somewhere. And we invited him. And then he looked at us all. We were all just like, in our hearts. But I think this is God's grace. He said, and you all look so fresh. really? I said, thank you, God. That's you. That was just a good little testimony in itself. But like the Brother Brinson was always telling us, you know, the different parts of the week during the 10 days, you know, part of going on a mission trip is getting stretched and getting out of your comfort zone. And those two things did happen with the different things we did, you know, that have been mentioned. Ben and Katie Shore, this couple is serious about their ministry. Yeah. They don't take it lightly at all. You can kind of see it on their faces. I don't know how to describe it, just kind of a seriousness. But, you know, they've got their fun side too. But they have four fine boys with them that just jumped in and helped. Didn't have to be asked. They just jump in and help us. They were so gracious, such a sweet family. I tell you what, talking about being serious, that street preaching, he does that every week, maybe even twice a week. He was going to do it twice while we were there, but didn't get to. Anybody that would go out there and stand on a busy corner and watch people just go by. Did you notice the pictures and the video? People just going by, not even looking. But he still does it, y'all. Just so encouraging to me. And he had us out there, like everybody was saying, handing out the flyers. And he said, you normally won't get any blowback on this. You know, people aren't normally hostile. Well, I got this guy walked up on me. He had one of the flyers in his hand. He was shaking it at me and saying all this. I couldn't understand him. His accent was so thick. All I heard at the end was he said, conspiracy. That's what he said. Conspiracy. And I said, hold on. Now slow down and tell me what did you say? Because I wanted to talk to him. But he said, and he just walked off. I said, okay, whatever. But, you know, just trying to hand out those flyers to people, like Susan said, you would try to hand out one. And while you were trying to get that one person to take it, like 10 or 20 would walk by, and it was just, you felt helpless. And you saw the looks on these people's faces, how lonely or exhausted or angry or whatever they were. But, you know, you just keep plugging in there. And I looked at Susan one time, I said, I wish somebody would just come up and say, oh, that's interesting. What do you got there? And I'm not kidding. About 2 minutes later, this gal came up and took one out of Susan's hand, and she said, God bless you. And I was like, thank you, God, for that.
Amen.
Just little things like that God did all along the way. But he is doing a work there. Ben and Katie have some faithful people that help them. Miss Jane. There was one guy that we met named William. I'll never forget this guy. He's just a regular guy. His testimony is he used to attend that place when it was a pub. Did not know God, was a drunk, and he testified to us that now because of Ben and Katie's ministry, he started coming to that church. I guess did he get saved
at
that church?
He got saved
at that same place where he used to go and drink. So just an amazing testimony. And William was precious too. And they mentioned Thomas Woods, and I felt like I knew that guy all my life. He was such an encourager. He just came alongside us and made us laugh, or he just talk about different things, and we had just a great time. The thing was, you know, if you look at these missionary prayer cards, they tell you, or on the email prayers, you know, the prayer chain that we have about the missionaries, you know, you read about them and you kind of look at what they're going through, but we got to get a firsthand glimpse of what actually a missionary family does. And I tell you what, it's not easy. This family, this is their third, I think their third place where they were trying to have church, third or fourth, was it third? And they received a lot of blowback from the community, pushback. You know, that could be very discouraging, but they kept hanging in there and being faithful and kept going forward with God, which is an inspiration to me. So I thought, if they can do it, why don't I do that? You know, if somebody rejects me or, you know, I get pushed back because of my faith, why can't I just keep going like that? Because sometimes the enemy will have a field day with me. You know, he'll say, you're not doing any good. You're not doing this or that. But they have just kept fighting the good fight.
Amen.
And that Holiday Bible Club, they told you about that, what a good turnout we had. That was the focus of it, and God really blessed in that. So all that to say, I want to thank you, church, for praying for us. We felt your prayers, definitely, because the grace of God was working while we were over there. And also for the financial help that we got, too, from the church. That meant a lot, and we appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Amen. Well, the team truly has testified of what they witnessed, and God gets all the glory. And I'm so thankful for their hard work. The team was just selfless, servant-hearted, focused on being a blessing. And I thank you, team, for that. I believe our main goal was that, of course, God would be glorified, of course. But underneath that, in a way to glorify God, we wanted to leave the missionary family encouraged. And I honestly believe that they were encouraged when we left there. And thank you for praying for us. I hope you'll consider going to Scotland someday and visiting the shores. I trust that you'll prayerfully consider a missions trip in the future as God brings them up here at our church. I close with this. On the last day of Wednesday at the Bible Club, Ms. Debbie had been teaching a three-day missionary story on John Patton, a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, reaching cannibals for Christ. At the end of that, I gave an invitation. Ms. Debbie asked me, Pastor, would you give an invitation of surrender? And out of that small group, none of these children are from homes where their parents don't even believe in God. But of that group, there were three young people that when I gave the invitation, who of you here would like to surrender your life and dedicate your life to get the gospel to whoever you can as a missionary, right here in Scotland or in a different country. And I believe I made that clear, and I don't believe there was any joking going around. It wasn't a bunch of the real little ones that were kindergartners that were raising their hand just to be raising their hand. But three of the older kids raised their hands, saying, I want to be a missionary some way, somehow, in reaching people with the gospel. You say, that doesn't sound like much. Hey, little is much when God is in it. And I want to tell you, there's no telling what God's going to do. And one of the things that we saw God do very specifically for the Shore family is they were able to reconnect with a lot of the believers, with a lot of people in that community that they had met before, but they came back. And it was just a time of revival for Ben, just being able to renew those contacts. And so let's continue to pray that fruit will remain and that God would be honored. But thank you again, team, for testifying tonight. Thank you for church for being here and your support. I pray and hope that your heart has been encouraged tonight and that we will all draw from this and go out of these doors with the fervency of sharing the gospel with those around us. Let's not be afraid. Let's not cower. Today's our day. The people around us are the people God's called us to. So let's do it. Amen. Let's pray.